Please rise. And there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on earth the distress of nations and perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the earth. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Parents and grandparents, I'm sure you've all told the story to your children and grandchildren of the boy who cried wolf. It's a story that teaches your children a very valuable lesson. When you're known for your tall tales and your outright lies, people will stop listening to you. One who always cries wolf can have a very serious effect within the church. Many have taken this principle of only seeing is believing and then applying that very attitude to the revelation of God. In other words, what the Bible says and what the preacher proclaims is worthy of acceptance only if it is verified by my personal experience. When it comes to our end time text today, are you going to listen to the truth of God's word? Or are you going to see His holy word in the light of the boy who cries wolf? Yeah, I know. You've been hearing this prophecy of the end times for years upon years, but we're still here. Even though you believe the scriptures are the inerrant and infallible word of God, you rarely give it any thought or even any application to your daily life. When it comes to Bible passages that you have memorized or hold as your favorites, Jesus' warning to be ready is probably not on the top of your list, even if it's on your list. Just before our text, Jesus gave a prophecy about Jerusalem. Jesus wasn't crying wolf, and He wasn't fooling when He warned His disciples what was about to happen to Jerusalem and the exalted temple. His words were proven true in the year 70 AD. Jesus told His disciples the signs of the destruction of Jerusalem and the dismantling of the magnificent temple. Surely His disciples remembered His prophecy spoken just 40 years earlier as 1.1 million people died in Jerusalem. Hundreds and hundreds of them starved to death. And Titus, the commanding general, ordered the destruction of the temple. No stone was left upon another. Yet the signs of the end of the world are different. The laws of nature and the orders of the created world will be shaken as God withdraws His benevolent grace from the wickedness of the human race. When you Christians gather here on the Lord's Day to receive His gift of the preached word and the blessed sacraments, this is why you are continually hearing a call to repentance and a call to faith. at our Savior's first advent, John the Baptizer preached, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." Jesus preached the very same message, by the way. You hear the same message today and every day that you gather here. Since the kingdom of God, the kingdom of the new heaven and the new earth, will come as a thief in the night, you must be ready. Jesus, God, is not crying wolf. But you, dearly beloved, you know, as Paul Harvey would tell us, you know the end of the story. It should not be a surprise to you. You know the events that you're to look for, events that will cause great fear and great trembling to all people. And it will be much more than wars and rumors of wars. It'll be much more than natural disasters that are already plaguing God's created world. The natural order of things will be shaken. The sun, the moon, the stars will be affected as the universe comes unglued. Now, Jesus isn't talking about lunar or solar eclipses. He isn't talking about climate change, where the rise of the oceans will put many coastal cities underwater. Let's not let our imaginations run away with ourselves and cloud our common sense. Or the truth of God's Word. Jesus is talking about destruction so great that entire nations will be perplexed and even cower in fear. But how long? How long can the church and her preachers proclaim such things before no one listens any longer? Not very long. When you consider what Jesus says next, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming onto the world, "For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory, and every eye will see His return." And the world says, "That's impossible." But God says, "With God all things are possible." Jesus tells you, dear one, when these things begin to take place, straighten up, stop cowering in the dark corner, straighten up, ramrod like a soldier, look up, and behold your salvation, because your redemption is drawing near. In other words, do not be afraid. In the Old Testament reading that you heard this morning, the prophet Malachi spoke of that dreadful time. "The day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts." But Jesus tells you, do not be afraid. All these things must come to pass, and your redemption is nigh. Yes, your fear will quickly turn to joy as you bow the knee before your King and your Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ. And you will bow the knee with great gladness and with deep humility. Malachi continues by writing, "But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall." This redemption of which Jesus is speaking is not the redemption of sin. This redemption has already taken place. And this is the redemption that Zechariah speaks of in the Benedictus. "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for He has visited and redeemed His people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. This is the redemption for which Paul speaks in the present tense, where he says that we have redemption through the blood and the forgiveness of sins of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You have that redemption right now. But as you can tell, it's not yet. There's still something yet to come. We already have the redemption through the passion and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. However, the redemption that will be drawing near is the redemption from the final consequence of sin that remains with you and with me and all human beings, namely eternal death. Yes, dear one, you have the forgiveness of sins. You now have salvation by grace through faith. You now have the promise of everlasting life. Yet you and I await the perfection that will come only when you and I stand straight and lift up our heads and behold our redemption as you and I are delivered from this sin-filled world. Perfection, something that you and I have never, ever seen. So it's hard for our minds to grasp this, but this is the promise, and we believe it in faith. In the meantime, you will continue to go through the consequences of sin in this sin-filled world. Sickness, suffering, and finally physical death. You and I are conceived and born in sin, and our bodies must return to dust. No one can avoid this. But be assured, dear one, be assured that your redemption from these things is drawing near. The same Jesus who was crucified and died for you and rose on the third day, conquered death for you, and he will return on a cloud, your great King and your great Redeemer. Now, a Redeemer is a person who rescues another by paying a ransom. Yet kings, if you stop to think about it, kings do not pay ransoms unless his name is Jesus. The ransom that King Jesus paid for your sin was no sum of money, but rather his own precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. In his first advent, Jesus won you back by paying a ransom. And that ransom, as you have heard, his blood. You are no longer under the power of the evil one as your king hung here on his bloody throne. In his second advent, he will redeem you from the power of sin and its consequences, which is eternal death. Until that great day, the church will continue proclaiming the message of repentance and the forgiveness of sins, and that's what will always be proclaimed from this pulpit. Thanks be to God. Finally, your Lord Jesus Christ will continue to say to the sons and daughters of Zion, "Behold, surely your salvation is coming." He will keep his promise, dear one. He gave a prophecy about Jerusalem. It came true. There's one more promise for him to keep, and he will keep that promise. He will come for you, and on that great day, we will see our King face to face, and he will say to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the kingdom prepared for you before the foundation of the world." That's a benevolent King. That's your Redeemer. That's your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is coming. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come quickly indeed. Amen.